Welcome to the Quarantine Book Club, a comedy and book club podcast where we read some of the best
and worst
speculative fiction out there.
I'm Bob, a career theater technician and educator.
And I'm Rance, an English writing and literature teacher.
We might not know everything about these books,
but we'll damn well try.
And we're happy you can join us this week.
Make sure to visit us at www.thequarantinebookclub.com.
And check us out wherever you listen to great podcasts.
Hey, what are you trying? You trying to get your cat to come out?
My cat will not.
Get over here.
Well, not, he's exploring the basement that I keep doing work in.
Oh, he's curious to know what you got going on there. Have you hidden anything?
He's so curious. Yes, all of my dead bodies and or drugs.
They're all hidden in the basement.
Yes, they're hidden in the basement of my Airbnb with three bedrooms where I'm planning on holding my sweet convention this week.
I heard you can have conventions at any Airbnb.
It sounds legit to me.
That's what I found out this week. You can have convention. You could just, honestly, you can have a sleepover and call it a convention.
I'm gonna have a convention with 15 of my best naked friends.
Can you charge $100, $180 for a sleepover?
That's not how you do it.
I'm gonna start doing that. I'm gonna start saying, "Look, if you want to come to my house, that's totally fine.
It's gonna cost you $180.
$180. You're gonna live in my house.
There's my cat
for a day.
My cat's
and B,
there.
Though now the cat's leaving. Mm-hmm. And B, if you stay here, I don't want any of that SJW crap in my house.
Get out of here, snowflake.
So we'll get into that in a little bit, but this week we did a pretty good job at pissing off some libertarian, and I put that in quotes, some libertarian authors about certain conventions, quote unquote, that they're running. But we'll get to that in a minute. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club. Buddy, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm burping. I keep still looking for my cat. I hear his bell jingle jangling in the background.
I saw him move.
Just now?
Yeah, he went back the other
way.
He
went back this way?
No, the other way.
This way.
You can't see. This is a QVC video exclusive, uh-huh. But because we don't have video, you can't see it.
It's like a who's on first, except there's...
He went over your left shoulder and vanished into the ether.
But my left shoulder might be the right shoulder that you're looking at, because some of these flip-flop in
it's
reverse.
It's your left shoulder.
How do you know it's my left shoulder?
Because I know, because I... It's fine. Whatever you want to figure out when it comes to
this is my left shoulder. I'm pointing at my left shoulder.
That was the one I went at.
Okay,
that
so
was
he
the
went
one
out
I...
that way?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, then he left or went into the bathroom, one of the two.
Okay. I would like to go into the bathroom.
You're already living in the bathroom, my friend. Living
How
in
was
the
your week?
Bathroom of social justice.
That's me. I'm a social justice bathroom.
My week was fine. I was working. I don't know. I'm finding that home ownership is not fun and that it's a lot of work, especially when you buy a house and you're like, hey, we'll do some little fixer up things. But we bought this house so it would be ready to go so we could move in, except for the time I had to build a whole bedroom in the basement.
You're never going to stop fixing things.
I know. I'm coming
Ever.
To that realization. And I just, like last weekend, I just looked at Tara and I said, babe, I am not doing anything on this house today. I want to sit here and I want to relax and I want to enjoy myself. And I'm going to read a book and play a game. And I finished your book. Bing, bing, bing. If you're out there, just so you know, hey, bro, I'm going to leave a little bit of hot, sales music right now. If you could give me some of that.
Oh, do you need a sales music?
Yeah.
I can gotcha.
There you go. And so, everybody, friends, I need you to know that my good brother, Rance.
That's me.
D. Denton has written an amazing book.
Thank you.
Right now, currently, it's got 4.85 stars on Amazon.
Thank you.
gotten, you know, like 9 or 10 reviews, but that's probably the only books that he sold. Somebody needs to buy some more. It's a banger of a book, but according to anybody that's a real author, he's not doing a good job. 9 reviews are how many books he's sold, because we only count reviews. We don't count actual sales of books. We don't count metric numbers or anything like that. There's another cat walking through my room. Who gives a shit? Whatever. All I'm saying is buy Rance's book, His Ragged Company, available on Amazon at ElyasFaust.com.
Thank you, man. That was really good. You like the music betting? You did a great job of just hitting right at that hard end where the file stops. And I don't choose to fade it out or anything. I just let it have a hard end. You did a good job.
Want to read another book? Give me another one, okay? Give me another
okay.
one.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have another one out sometime. I don't know. Might take another 10 years.
Give me like a short story, like a novella.
I'm going to give you something.
Can you give me a novella?
Yeah, it's coming.
Good.
Yeah, it's coming. Okay. Yeah, and also out there, yes, we'll be talking about all of these things, like those little hint jokes that were in there about me only having sold 9/6 copies. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes.
But
else was your week?
It was fine. I worked. Whatever. There's nothing exciting happened except for the fact that we're here recording this episode, and our good friend Chris Bond of We Like Theme Parks fame could not make the episode again this week.
We're going to see Bond at some point. So we're doing this episode, and hopefully we'll actually have another episode.
Yeah. So maybe you'll get like an episode next week. Like we'll just...
There might be, you know, 2 episodes.
Yeah, like back-to-back weeks. We'll actually say next week
this
instead
is
of next episode.
Prime organization. We're shooting off the cuff tonight. We're not talking about a book tonight, even though if you're out there and you're still waiting, we're still reading the Tron novelization by Brian Daley. Just some like thoughts on that really quickly.
Like, yeah.
Any like thoughts that you can use to sort of like precede us going into it next week when we begin talking about it?
I think if you like Tron as much as I do, which is pretty rare. But if you like Tron, first of all, one of the things you know about Tron is that it is not the most exciting movie for about the first half hour. And I think they do a pretty good job of explaining it's pretty note for note right now so far where I'm at in the book, except that they add a little bit of flavor here and there. You can tell where there's lines that Jeff Bridges ad-libbed in the movie because they're different than the book. And, you know, Jeff Bridges is one of those actors who will just go off the cuff. And so one of my favorite lines from the movie isn't in there. And that's fine. Whatever. I wasn't, like, crying about it. I did text you, and I was like, but that's a big door. It isn't in there. And some little bits of character flavor that are interesting, because I feel like they lead a little bit into some of the stuff that was in Tron Legacy.
I was thinking the exact same thing too, that there's all these subtle points that are almost like it was like ideas they might have put in the original Tron, and they were like, you know what, let's cut these out and maybe they'll live again in something else.
Yeah.
Because as we know, novelizations are always like vastly different. Well, in some capacity, not like they're adding in new shit or, you know, and I'm always intrigued to know, like, when exactly in the process they were written.
Yeah, because I feel it's got to be when the script is approved. They hand that script to the actors and, you know, and the director and everything, and they hand the same script to the guy who's writing the book because they have the same amount of time to slap those two things together.
Yeah,
because as you know, writing a book is a real time consuming process.
Especially if you're running off of like a an outline that somebody else has done.
Yeah.
And I actually had that experience when I was writing the I wrote a play, which we never ended up doing.
We'll still do that play one day.
We'll still do it. It was a version of Frankenstein, and I went through, you know, I love Frankenstein, and my intent was to be as honest to the book as possible, but find a way to translate it for the stage in an appropriate way. And going page by page by page through a book and going, okay, this has something I got to put into it. Or literally looking at a book and going, this doesn't need to be there at all.
Yeah.
on the stage version, obviously there's a switch around there. We're looking at a script turning into a book as opposed to a book turning into a script. Mm-hmm. But I can only imagine actually the stress that Brian Daly probably went through when he was like, God, what the hell are they even talking about here? Well, I guess I'll put it in a book. Yeah. I'll figure it mm-hmm. out.
And computers,
the world of computers.
Yeah, and computers were such like the Wild West at that point, to use a probably an overused and not really a proper term, but books were kind of like, you know, computers, it was so new. Everybody was like, what the hell's going on? I'll just use words like RAM. It's fine. That's just a program. RAM's a program. No big deal. What's a Tron?
My name is Random Access Memory. My name is Turn That Process On.
Yep. Don't worry about it. We never saw who Trough was, though.
I can't wait for them to meet Trough. He's just some sad bastard with his head inside of like that life fluid that they drink at one point. Because we all know that life fluid is in a computer, yep. right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but occasionally I open up my computer and I drink the life fluid. Oh, that
I
is
need
in my
computer life fluid. It's like the blood.
I slurp it up. I just slurp that shit up. And
slurp it up.
Give me that computer life fluid.
I'm okay. So
and Trough is just leaning over this bucket, sucking up computer life fluid.
My name is Trough, and I'm here to drink off your computer life fluid, bitch.
I'm gonna drink you off, bro. Give me your life fluid. I'm gonna drink you off.
Hey, if you guys need any more of that computer life fluid,
bro,
Tron might not need it, but I do.
I need all of the life fluid that I can give, bro. My name's Trough. I'm the best character in this whole series.
Thank you. This comedy was not planned before this moment. This is pure improvisation. And thank you.
I would actually, for that actual episode, I think I'd like to nail down exactly who the fuck Trough is and what Trough does. Like what's important to Trough?
I think we should ask Bond when Chris Bond from We Like Theme Parks comes on.
We need to pick a bunch of those old DOS. Like, is it DOS or BASIC? Right?
That would probably be BASIC. I mean, like, I look, there's people out there that are going to know this stuff better, mm-hmm. but that's old BASIC stuff.
Is it?
To my knowledge, yeah.
I mean, I just fucking forget because it's so long ago. Because there were, for some reason, I remember Trough being, if I'm right, it was fucking command number 8. And when I was learning computer language, I was like, fuck yes, Tron. And I always wanted to. And our computer teacher, Mr. Hirschman, was like, you're never going to use that. You're never going to fucking use that command for anything. And I'm like, bro, that's the only fucking command I want to use. It's the only reason.
I just want to use Tron.
Yeah, it's the only reason that I would take, like, computer classes.
Well, I don't know what Tron actually, I think it was like transfer on and transfer off, mm-hmm. something like that. But I don't know, like,
I don't
all
either.
I ever used was print hello world.
Yeah. That's all you needed to know how to do. If you did, then you got like a fucking 800 plus in Hirschman's class.
Did I ever tell you about what Hirschman did with my class that I had to take? Where like he said to me, he was like, oh, do you want to just take care of the computer lab and I'll give you all of the assignments, yes. on a disk?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's cool. So what do you want me to do? He's like, I don't know. I just want you to take care of the network. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take care of the network. And I just turned in the programs he gave me on a disk. Like, why not just give me an A for all of them as opposed to make me turn in the programs that are, I guess, I don't know. But Hirschman, if you're out there, he's probably dead. Hirschman, if you're out there, thanks for letting me cheat my way through high school programming class.
Hey, man, that's cool. Appreciate it. Yeah, no sweat. Nobody will know who Hirschman is if he's still alive. It's no big deal. Also, this story has been brought to you by Frags Per Second, Rance's other podcast, where he definitely told this story on that podcast previously. I would know because I watched that podcast with his good friend Discuss Metal Dan, who is now starting a new YouTube channel called
Discuss Metal Gaming, because he's on a podcast called Discography Discussion,
mm-hmm.
and they have a really successful podcast, and they have a whole overhead of brand stuff, so I guess that's where we're doing that now.
Cool.
I was just on a YouTube channel yesterday.
What were you doing on
day
another
YouTube
channel?
2 days ago.
Tell me about your week, bro. I'm sorry. We got sidetracked.
It's fine. My week was fine. I got into some fights with some super libertarian assholes that don't want to admit that they're MAGA chuds, but they're definitely MAGA chuds.
Right.
On the internet about some shitty convention that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Oh, my God.
That was fine. Like, I don't really engage in Twitter fights per se, but when you're being a racist asshole, I'm going to call it out.
Right.
And so that was that. But also, I was on Raoul Reed's. He is a booktuber who hosts like self-publishing panels and indie publishing panels. He's a really, really great guy. And I was on his channel on Friday just talking about the process of developing a book and all this kind of jazz.
Yeah, I saw it. I love you and I support you. I was not able to watch it and I felt bad, but also at the same time,
why?
I was like, I'm not an indie writer. I don't care.
Well, yeah, you don't have to watch everything that I do. You don't have to fucking watch everything I
Yo,
do, bro.
I will watch everything you fucking do. You know what? Because that's called being a supportive podcast partner. We're creation partners. Remember, you got real mad about that last episode.
You're right. Well, I didn't understand what a creation partner was. I thought you just meant that like we were created for the same purpose at the same time.
We were to make this fucking badass podcast that right now is really boring.
The other thing, it's not at all. I'm having a great time.
Good.
The other thing that happened this week was happened like 2 hours ago.
Okay.
My wife said to me, she goes, I need your help. It's another dog story. I was like, what's up? I walk outside and the dog has taken a plastic bowl, a plastic water bowl, and has just destroyed it into like 100 shards on the ground. I didn't even know plastic could become these sharp shards, but she managed it. And I was like, bro, what are you fucking doing? How did this happen? So we're squatting out there in the yard, pulling up pieces of shattered plastic off the ground that the dog, I don't know, dog might have eaten. So I don't fucking know.
What the fuck, man?
How's this dog?
Does your dog just eat everything under the sun?
I don't know.
Eat sharp things?
When we went to the ER vet 2 weeks ago, after the last time we had talked in the podcast, we did the podcast. And
I was like, you had to go to the emergency vet again?
No. So when we were there, there was a guy who must have been, I'd say like 25, 26. And he really looked and sounded like friend of the show, Matt Peterson from the Peterson Family Hour.
Okay.
He just had that same presence and nuance to him. And he had this dog named Moose. And Moose was no shit 120 pounds. And Moose is this big silver Labrador. And Moose is the happiest motherfucker in the world. And when he came up to me, I was like, hey, buddy, how you doing? And he sat down in front of me. And the guy, and I looked at the guy. I was like, dog seems really good. Is, you know, what happened? And he was like, Moose ate a fucking ball of aluminum foil. And I was like, Okay.
Wow, Moose.
And he was so like unbothered by this. And I was like, has this Moose done this before? And he was like, yeah, we've been here a few times. Moose eats a lot of dumb shit. Like one time he decided he was going to have tomato soup for dinner. So he ate the whole can. And I was like, oh, he just chugged the whole can. He's like, no, he actually ate the can. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, there's just like some shards of can left.
Dog.
And Moose is happier than a pig in shit, man. He was so, like, his eyes were so big. He looked like he'd just blown 1,000 rails of coke right before then.
Dogs are so fucking dumb.
They're so
stupid. They're so dumb. And my fiance wants a dog so fucking badly.
They're so dumb.
And I don't care. I look here. Okay. For friends.
Dogs
friends
are cute
out
and
there
all, right?
Listen. Yeah. No, I can fucking pet a dog or whatever. But Tara and I had a discussion on the 4th of July weekend because her parents' dog is really bad. Gunner is a bad dog. And I'm sorry because I know members of the family listen to some of our episodes. Hey, Ryan. And
hey, what's up, Ryan?
And Ryan lit Red Dune and was like, bro, we gotta talk about this. But so Gunner's a bad dog. And every time we're around him, it is plainly evident that I do not like dogs who are a nuisance, and I consider Gunner to be a nuisance. And Tara and I were talking about it, and she's like, you just don't like dogs. And I was like, that's not true. I can like dogs. She's like, no, you like animals, and so therefore dogs fall under that banner. They are animals, so therefore you have this general like for them. But she's like, dogs themselves, you're not here for it. You don't care about their bullshit. She's like, I was like, you're right, and I don't like being licked by dogs. I don't like being climbed on by dogs. If we're in public and your dog is barking, tell your dog to shut the fuck up, because I don't want to hear it.
Public and your dog is barking, Bob doesn't want to fucking hear that shit.
It's an obnoxious noise.
Bob doesn't like it. It's an obnoxious noise.
It's like slamming a door, but it like right in your face. But it's an animal making the noise.
But it's an animal making the door in your face.
I actually feel the same way about it, though. Like, I think my wonderful, lovely wife, she has so much more patience. But like, the dog will sit on the couch, and the dog will like start licking my knee, and I'm like, ew, mm-hmm. ew. I'm no. like, yeah, no, stop.
Yep. No, dog. It goes right back into, I have a tactile dysfunction. I don't like lotions, and I don't like oils and stuff on my fucking body. And dog,
no oils.
Dog slobber is slimy. Okay, so it's like rubbing slime on my body.
No slobber.
Don't need it. Dog,
no lick.
Get out of here. If you got a dog and you're a dog person,
no wet mouth.
That's fine, but no slamba jamba.
No, it's none of this.
No dog cum.
Here in the Quarantine Book Club, we don't condone the irresponsible breeding of dogs.
I needed to go somewhere, and it was like, oh, for some reason, that was the logical next step in my brain.
That's a good place. No, that's a good place to go, man. You're totally good. I love our dog, but also, like, I think my wife has the absolute greater patience for, like, the gross stuff that dogs do. Like, the dog will be like, dude, you remember growing up with our dogs, right? Oliver and Heidi and Dieter. Like, you remember growing up and, like, you would hear the dog in the middle of a hot summer day. The dog comes in, flops on the ground, does the dog deflation. And the dog's like, I'm going to just start kneeling on my crotch. Mm-hmm. And you hear... And you're like, bro, you gotta stop. You gotta stop just feasting on that thing. And they look up at you and they go, and they just start going at that shit again. Cats don't do that. So I think you and I are by our nature.
We have a cat who does that.
they do. You're right. Which one does it?
Marley. Oh, Marley's the worst. Marley has no hair on her back legs because she licks her back legs so much. And it is. I mean, she literally makes that noise. She makes a She'll be laying on the end of the bed, and you'll be like, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I've got a cat at my feet. I feel so great. This is so, I'm so comfortable. I just rolled over to get a sip of water off of my my nightstand, and she'll roll over a little bit, and then I'll just start to hear.
It's the small noises, too. It's the tiny.
And I'm like, Marley, stop it, because there's only skin left there. There's no hair.
Just sucking on her own skin. Well, the one that I hate is that when the cats, now we are just bitching, this has become the quarantine.
quarantine bitch about animals.
The one that I hate the most is when the cat lifts their head all the way up, like they're trying to lick their chest.
But they're not so licking they, like, anything.
Lift their head up and unhinge their jaw.
And their tongue's sticking out, but their head, there's no body that they're hitting.
And they're never hitting it. And like the whole bed is like going left to right, left to right, left to right, left to right. I'm like, fucking stop. And obviously I'm not like, yes, I will yell fucking stop at the animals, right? Because if you're listening to this you also are like, God, my animal's an idiot. Because we all like, bro, like, be nice to your animals. Your animals, you're the only thing they have, of course. But also, we all call our animals fucking idiots.
Yeah, no, there are definitely times where you're talking about your animal and you're just like, my cat is so dumb. Marco, my best feline bud, the like cat love of my life.
At Marco Cowcat on TikTok.
Oh man, he's been so uncomfortable since we moved that I haven't even been able to get any good video
of him. You have not created any content for the consumers out there?
No, I've been so, oh my God, I've been so busy with this stupid house and with him like not being, it's not fun to take video of a cat who's just slinking around the house scared of things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take him a while to get acclimated.
It's infuriating, though, man. Just get over it. I mean, the one thing I'll say is he now sleeps with me every night. Like, he literally gets on the bed and sleeps next to me every night, which he didn't do before. Though he still has his favorite habit of licking my face at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's a big no right there. Oh, don't lick my face at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, he wants to. He's cats. Cats are dumb. Catch him. But I've on occasion called him a dildo.
Marco,
stop being a fucking dildo, dude. and Jackson, one of the big gray cats, fucking left a skid mark on Tara's pants the other day. And she made me help wipe his butt because he just had the wet poos right on his butt. He just left left a leaker. And I was like,
No.
And so I'm holding his back legs and he's trying to kick. And she's like, I'm just trying to wipe your butt.
That's the weirdest thing is that like animals don't have the cheeks that we do. So like the anatomy is very weird and like they don't need to, I don't know. There's no need to wipe.
They don't need to
most
wipe
of the time.
You get a skitter,
but when
man.
It gets caught. Ooh.
No, it was unpleasant. And she was very upset, and so I just kept calling him shit stain for the rest of the week. Oh, don't worry about it. I think my cat's eating carpet over here now. In fact.
Would you like to make the cat stop?
No, I mean, whatever. It's not like I need to take the cat. See, here's the difference between a cat and a dog. I don't have to take the cat to the vet if it eats something dumb. It'll just throw it up.
Good point.
I mean, it's not going to eat any bones anyway.
Yeah, the dog will just throw bones up.
He's out anyway. He's had his fill of carpet pieces.
So, hey, man, I'm really curious to know a very important thing. So let me, of course, make this happen.
1, 2, 3. It's time to drink.
Hey, what are you drinking tonight, man?
Man, tonight I'm double-fisting some Truly seltzer punches.
Man!
Yeah, I got the Truly Tropical Punch, which is already open, and then let me just go ahead.
Wait, so is that a seltzer, just a seltzer,
it's the Tropical Punch seltzer.
Oh, okay, it's
seltzer.
The Blue Tropical Punch.
I'm not going to drink the white ones. They suck, okay? Mm-hmm. They're tasteless trash. They're just gross-tasting water with alcohol in them. Not good. But the Truly punches, they're where it's at. So after I have that one, I'm going to have a citrus punch.
Good idea. Tonight, I'm drinking Corona Extra, and I just finished this one. And I'm going to get another one.
Nice.
Okay. Which I've got this little thing going on right back here.
Oh, see, he's reaching back into a fridge.
Reaching into a fridge?
He's got a mini fridge.
It's a content creator thing right there.
That is. Do you do that a lot now? Fridge. Like when you're creating content? What other content are you creating now? Is it just this and your other podcast? And books?
Yeah.
I mean, other than the books. But you're not twitching anymore.
No, I'm not twitching anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just depends on how many drugs that I have consumed, I suppose.
Right, but
note to the world, I do not consume drugs. Hello, cat.
Yeah, my cat.
The cat just jumped up on your lap. No, I just like to say that for some reason there's that phrase. I know we've talked about this one-on-one in the past, but maybe not on the podcast. The phrase creating content to me is just a hysterical phrase.
Yeah.
Because it's the most demeaning statement about creating things for other people's consumption, because the word content to me is just so, it's just so low level. It's like content is the most basic thing. What do you fill a box with? Content.
I mean, I think it's because people, especially YouTubers, don't like telling people they're YouTubers. And I'm like, why not, man? If you fucking make your living, I got a good friend of mine that I grew up with who makes his living as a YouTuber. And this dude's got like the number, like what is it, the number three, two, number two channel, maybe even higher in
Thailand.
And he just came home to America this week.
Okay. And for anyone out there who's like, oh, is number two in Thailand, this guy, they are making millions doing this.
Yeah, no, they came over to...
They purchased cars, like four videos.
Yeah, no, he's like, he's over here because they're legitimately... He's not coming to America to stay. He's over here visiting with family and doing like a road trip across America thing for their channel, because over in Thailand, they're building an entire compound for his YouTube channels.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And then there'll be stuff that he posts on Facebook that's like, hi guys, just coming home for, you know, for a while. And there's like 60-year-old, 70-year-old women who are like, it's so good to see you home.
Yeah. And I'm like,
and you grew up with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, and he went over to Thailand. He fell in love with the woman, went over to Thailand, got married, and for a while was trying his hand at acting. And he was a novelty in Thailand because he's a white guy. And so it was like he could easily get acting gigs because he was a white guy, which is very different than the reverse of the culture here, which is, you know, if you're an Asian person as an actor, getting jobs outside of like stereotype bullshit is really hard. And so, yeah, like he used that as a bouncing off point and then just started doing YouTube videos with his daughter, and it just exploded. It took off. Yeah. And there you go.
Good on him. Good on him.
Yeah.
I've never watched a single one of his videos. You know why?
Because they're for kids.
And watching any YouTube video that has a child in it makes me feel weird.
No, that's true. Also, since they're in Thailand, I have a feeling that you wouldn't understand them unless you speak Thai.
Also, YouTube videos of children make me feel weird.
Look, I all the YouTube videos that I watch are like videos that my friends are in as content creators, because I got friends who are content creators, or stuff about paint and miniatures, or I also find, if you're looking for like a good thing to go to sleep to, look up restoration videos of like stuff. Like there's people who do like restorations of toys and old game consoles, and that shit is hot content.
Actually, the one that I find is really comforting is I like restorations of old paintings.
Okay.
Because my thought is, when I watch or restoring like old manuscripts, and I'm not talking about like from 100 or 200 years ago, I'm talking like thousands of year old religious tomes that were like created by monks. Mm-hmm. Because my thought is, I want them to fuck up so bad. Like what balls? If you're cleaning a painting and you're taking the old the old resin off the front of the painting or all this other shit off the top of the painting, but trying to keep the paint. I'm like, I can't wait to see Darla here completely fuck up this multi-million dollar painting.
Like Mona Lisa's nose just goes away.
And just put acid or something. It seems as though I've put on the wrong solution. My job is fucked. Like I'm just praying that they fuck something
Why?
Up.
Why? So you can see that poor person's like livelihood fall to shit right before you.
Because okay, maybe we're getting into a weird place here, but I don't value expensive pieces of ancient art the way that maybe others do. And I recognize that's my problem, but even like old books, right? Like I've got a few books from like the 1800s. They're nice to have and all, but because we're in a digital era where the content from these books is digitized and accessible, they're a novelty. But also, I sort of don't give a fuck about them. And maybe that's a really awful thing for me to think.
You're a fucking trash person.
I'm terrible. It's like the vinyl thing, right? Like, I don't give a fuck to have vinyl if I can just listen to shit on Spotify. I just don't care too deeply about the quality enough of the noise. I don't give a fuck. just shout me out and tell me at me because I'm an asshole. But like, knowledge is more important than the way that knowledge is expressed. I don't know. So there's like prints of the Mona Lisa out there. I don't give a fuck about the original Mona Lisa. No, I'm only ever going to see a print anyway.
Yeah, well, I understand that mindset. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an art person really anyway. So like, I don't really care about art too much. I don't know. As far as like visual art, I mean, it's great, but also like, I'm not looking at, a painting from the Renaissance and going, holy shit, this is blowing my fucking brain up. Like, I like, you know, if it's like a one of those skulls shitting out like a million people, that's fun. You know, like paintings like that are cool. But
wait, explain to me this painting. I'm not familiar. A skull shitting out a million people.
I saw a meme the other day that was really, it was just a funny meme about after sex, and there was a skeleton, and the skeleton sort of had its arms up and legs up in the air, and people were just falling out of it. But so like, yeah, like I like weird shit like that. That's sure. Like those real weird fucking paintings with, you know, like the one where it's like the demon eating the person whole. Like, that stuff's fun. But if it's just like a painting of your mom's face, I don't care.
Or it's like a woman sitting there with her hands on the book.
Yeah, no, that's fucking boring. Don't. That's people being, there's one thing where it's like people who had fucking imagination, and then another one is fucking people who are narcissists who are like, look at this fucking painting of me that I sat fucking 10 hours for, if not longer, so that other people could just look at a painting of me.
So I have this piece of art, and I will say it is a piece of art that I do care to have preserved. I'm very lucky that our father, dead friend of the show, our father, had preserved. It is three parchment paintings of a samurai battle.
Oh yeah.
And it is the most violent fucking thing I've ever. There's literally corpses torn in half and blood like spraying. But it's done in this. I don't know, this art style that is immensely traditional. And it's one of those things I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I have this. But also, I think it'd be weird to put this on my wall.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. And I don't. I have some pieces like that around too that I'm just like, I fucking love this thing, but what am I going to do with it? I mean, I can't put it in the living room. And now I have my space down in the house here where it's like my little recording office area. But I'm like, I don't have enough room for all the random shit that I've got. I've got a fucking like this signed McFoley shirt and like, and it's all like a lot of it's like signed shit.
Yeah.
And I realized like I have so much of it that I literally don't have enough wall space.
Yeah.
So I have to now I have to start picking and choosing and going, oh man, what am I going to do with all of this stuff? Do I get it framed and take it to work and like put it in my office at work? What do I do with it? This is, you know what? This is boring, not interesting content. Nobody likes this. We're content creators. We're failing.
What?
Let's move on. Let's move on to this exciting stuff.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about who I pissed off this week.
Please. Yeah.
So, as anybody who is remotely involved in science fiction and fantasy, whether you're a reader, whether you're a writer, people know about the sad puppies. And you know what? Look online about the sad puppies.
Yeah, if you don't know about it.
If you feel like it. But if you also read it and you're also like, the sad puppies seem like pretty good people, go fuck yourself. The sad puppies were this contingent of angry bullshit white guy and white women writers who directly tried to undermine the Hugo Awards and other prestigious science fiction award systems like that that have been going around for ages because they were upset that they were starting to get too quote unquote woke, right? And so now a clusterfuck of assholes of these libertarian white asshole authors are creating a convention that is just for them. It's just to bring the fun back to science fiction, quote unquote. So I caught wind of this and I retweeted it and I was like, oh, this seems like a terrible experience, basically. And of course, just drew the ire of all of these people who are developing this convention. And so I want to read some of the information about this convention because okay, there's a few things I got to say first and foremost.
Okay.
To CYA. One, I don't give a fuck really what it is that you want to do with yourself, your career, and your work, as long as you are not excluding and hurting people, right? Like, what the fuck ever.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you want to have your libertarian science fiction convention, that's fine. But what I'm realizing as I read the about this convention called BasedCon is that it is just a means by which to exclude other people from science fiction.
It's a bunch of fucking white guys going,
Science fiction for us.
Yeah, you know what? I want it back in the day when science fiction was for me, and when I read stories about straight white dudes sexually harassing straight white women.
I'd like to know what the fuck these people think about the gore novels, right?
God,
so it says, BasedCon is a gathering for authors and fans of science fiction and fantasy. Whether you've never been to a con before or you're a frequent con goer who's tired of having social justice propaganda shoved in your face, BasedCon is the place for you. So that right there, I was like, okay, the minute they start calling it social justice propaganda, motherfucker, this isn't social justice propaganda. It's literally the natural order of forwards movement in what is otherwise a fucking white boys club.
Yeah.
We've seen over the past 20 to 30 years, and increasingly so over the past 10, a focus on literature created by people who are or identify as LGBTQIA, about people who are LGBTQIA, about characters of color, by authors of color, just unwhitening this otherwise completely white bread fucking genre. And okay, and so they go on, and this is how they describe their convention. Can I read this to you?
Yeah, man.
Okay, this is from the website.
Please describe it.
To me, it's fucking hysterical. Sci-fi cons used to be a lot of fun. They were places where people of all colors and creeds could get together to talk and learn about science fiction and fantasy books, games, movies, and TV shows. Then, starting a few years ago, things changed. Cons became increasingly dominated by a small clique of authoritarian jerks who made them into venues for pushing social justice dogma and, in the name of inclusiveness, shut down any opinions that didn't align with progressive orthodoxy. Like, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear all of that garbage?
It sounds like a bunch of bullshit because all of the people that they're saying are diverse. If you cared about that diversity, then you wouldn't think that somebody was pushing agendas on you. You know, you'd be like, oh, I care about this thing.
Yeah, this is like seeking out. This is like what they complained about all the time, seeking out offense in things that are not trying to offend them.
Yeah,
they're just upset that it's not all about them anymore. That magically these white dudes aren't all of a sudden getting all the praise anymore. You know why?
Because they're pretty fucking mediocre.
Yeah, because they're immensely mediocre. And this is the part I love, because this is where it goes off the rails. You may remember the Sad Puppies saga, which culminated in Worldcon voters selecting no award in several categories of the Hugo Awards rather than reward people outside of their tribe. Maybe you're familiar with the Gamergate debacle. You probably heard about Gina Carano being fired from The Mandalorian because she voiced thoughts outside the acceptable range of opinion. Undoubtedly, you've heard about the push to get critical race theory and other social justice garbage into schools. Each one of these controversies started the same way. A group of progressive malcontents moves into a space, takes it over, molds it to suit the group's agenda, and then brands anyone who fights back as a racist, sexist, homophobic, etc. You know what? You are a racist, sexist, homophobic, etc. This coming from the same motherfucker who had a tweet that said he was like, I'm looking for venues for BaseCon, and I'm looking at Airbnbs at wedding venues. Most of them have pictures of biracial people. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it was something like the place that we're picking had an average of 50% biracial couples or something like that. Isn't that weird? It was like interracial or something. It was fucking mind-blowing how disgustingly racist the statement was. And this fucking asshole...
It's like, oh, just because I pointed it out, that means it's not racist. I'm like, the fact that you pointed it out is racist.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
You thought it was weird that there were biracial couples advertised, like in the pictures for these places. Like, dude, get the fuck back to 1950 or beforehand. Like, get a fucking boot to the tooth. Like, you're what a piece of shit,
dude. You know, it's funny as you're reminding me of a story that I'll have to tell you after we get done with this. That just had to go back to what'd you do this week? That I made a realization on Friday. And but no, like this mess. These are the type of people that if you attempt to point out to them that their language or their behavior is problematic, they will, it's like they'll fucking drop to the floor and start like a soccer player who's been tapped and start screaming, you know, cancel culture.
I'm being victimized.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is reactionary shit where in a world where they've been given everything and they've literally not earned these things. They've been given everything. All of a sudden,
I earned all these awards. Okay, we earned 2018, 2019. I earned all these awards. Okay, what awards did you earn?
What do you get?
How many books did you sell?
These guys, all of a sudden, when they're no longer welcome in an area because their ideas, their politics, their thoughts, their perspectives are racist, transphobic, or homophobic, in a time where people can now really call those things out and be supported, all of a sudden these guys are like, well, let's make it about me. This is entirely – they're like blowing the shit out of proportion. They say here, why is it called BasedCon? In internet parlance, based means something like in touch with reality. Based behavior is the opposite of social justice activism, which is about meaningless virtue signaling and beating up strawmen. Some based beliefs include, and this is where basically they talk about those things that they think, men cannot give birth. That's transphobic right there, right? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. What a fucking absolute moronic statement. A fetus is a human being. Well, Jesus Christ, Glenn. Socialism has failed everywhere it's been tried. Who the fuck brought socialism into this, you absolute chud? You fucking hammock of a human being. And then finally, discriminating against white people is racism. Fuck off.
Nobody's discriminating against white people.
People isn't a race.
Oh my god, no! White people is a default. Like it's the lack of any functional racial. I'm trying to think of the word. I know what I'm trying to say.
A lack of racial identity.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly it.
Yep. There is no culture to white.
No. White is a color. Black can be a culture. You know, like it's like people who are Latino, they have a culture. White people are just white people who...
It says, if you think people with a certain skin color can't be racist, or you expect people to use made-up pronouns when talking about you, you may want to do a reality check before coming to BasedCon.
Oh, no, fuck you, man. Fuck you. You got railed on for having pronouns. And I was like, do you not have pronouns?
They tried to insult me because my pronouns were he, him. And I'm like... Okay, cool. I'm glad you identified and recognized my pronouns, you prick. But so like I retweeted this because I was like, this is an absolute garbage fire. And of course got the pile on, right? Got the pile on. Mm-hmm. Was told at one point, because I only had 6 reviews of my book, apparently that means I've only sold 6 copies of it. Yeah. And here's the thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to put this out there right now, so that way, A, I can point back to it later when these motherfuckers do it. But B, because I also recognize class and taste and what to attack and what not to attack. I'm attacking these fucking ideas of based con, right? I'm never going to go online and review bomb these motherfuckers' books. They might write shit that I don't give a fuck about, but I'm not here to judge their creativity based on that.
Right.
So I would never go that level. That's just not a thing you do to anyone who is creative, because I identify that that's a really shitty thing to do.
That's also fucking with somebody's like
potential livelihood, what have you. And I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So like there are places where I have standards, motherfuckers. But like this one dude was like, he went on a fucking 23 tweet like tirade about me, about me. Yeah. And I'm like, bro. And then later on, he's like, well, I'm glad I live in this guy's head rent free. And I'm like, bro, you fucking spent 23 tweets talking about me.
Yeah. What? How long did you spend? First of all, Twitter is not it's the world's most easy to rant upon.
Right. 240 characters. Like, say your shit. Get done. Like, the fact that you can't, the fact that I spent, that I took, I don't know, what's the math? 23 times 240.
I don't know. Let me get
a lot.
Hold on. 23 times 240 equals 5,520 characters.
Okay, 5,520 characters. I was in this guy's head for almost a mile's worth of characters. I don't know. That's a joke, by the way. I'm like, dude, do you have anything else? Like, I'm not gonna affect in any capacity the attendance to your convention whatsoever. Nobody follows me that thinks things outside of my own direct belief system. Because yes, social media is a fucking echo chamber. That's the way I want it to be. Because you know what? When I come on there, I want to hang out with like-minded people, not fucking idiots, not MAGA chuds, not people who are calling, not people who sit there and think that they're actually outside of the right and they don't belong to any particular political view, when the truth is that silent people are the fucking most dangerous ones out there, politically speaking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's frustrating to see such a lack of self-awareness and a lack of external awareness. It's not a hard thing to be aware that you're harming other people with your language and your intent. It's not. Yeah. That's called basic human courtesy. And the fact that some people fucking lack it is, and it's not just some people, it's about 50 fucking percent of our population that lack it. And it's real eye-opening. Every time I see one of these things, I'm disgusted, I'm frustrated, and I start in on the whole, like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking get in on this and I'm gonna make fun of these people. First of all, the venue that they're using, it's a fucking joke. It looks like a goddamn crack house.
It looks like Waco. It's an Airbnb.
It's got three garages in the front on the a stone driveway, like parking lot, and it looks like a house. It looks like a big house.
It is. It's a big house. So it is like a potential wedding venue. But like on the website, you're looking at the prices here, right? And so if you go to attend, you have to buy like the BaseCon registration with lodging. $200.
That sounds so unfun for $200.
If you look at the venue, it's these beds crammed in, it's these beds crammed like metal frame beds crammed in these little fucking rooms. Like, I ain't wait, do I get to pick the fucking room I'm in? Or
no, you just get handed just room. And you're gonna cram in a room with 3 other dudes that you don't know, who are all sloppily breathing, who are
Delta variant on my ass,
who are just fucking slapping the meat rod while they think you're asleep.
Oh, Jesus. Let me explain something. There's a picture of a kitchen on here, but it's not like a convention. Like,
no, it's I thought this was going to be at a convention center. Kitchen. It's not.
This is at an Airbnb. What convention is done at an Airbnb?
Also, there's a thing that needs to be explained about conventions. I gotta explain something. As a guy, a male who went to conventions sometimes when I was younger, that for these types of dudes that are going to a convention, they're not going to attend a convention like this with the intent of, I'm going to this convention and I'm going because I enjoy reading sci-fi. Their thought going to this convention is, I'm a dude who reads sci-fi. Therefore, I am a pathetic incel. And maybe I will meet a woman who is hot and attractive, who's dressed in cosplay at this convention. So therefore, I will go to this convention. Dudes, there's none of that happening at this convention. So you might as well just, like, I'm not paying $200 for that. Like, that's the mindset of some of these fucking asshats. And
I also, as a woman, and I can't speak as a woman, but I sure as fuck wouldn't feel safe in this kind of location.
No, men don't seem to, these type of men don't seem to understand how horrifying they are to women.
But did you know that all meals and plus snacks and a beverage are included?
That's not the roughing it package, is it?
Right. There is the roughing it package, which is my personal favorite. It is the base con registration with lodging. This is exactly the same as base con registration with lodging package, with one exception. Because of limited sleeping space at the venue, we can't guarantee that everyone will get a bed. By selecting this package, you are volunteering to sleep on an air mattress slash cot slash couch, etc., which might or might not be located in an actual bedroom. If you're one of those people who can sleep anywhere, this is the package for you. Wait, like, you're asking me to pay $180 to sleep on a motherfucker's floor? Like, get the fuck out of here. Look, I get going to conventions and being uncomfortable, but there is at least a semblance of privacy at any other convention. There is a bathroom where I can go pee or shit or bathe. This place is gonna stink.
Oh, man. It's
like, this place is gonna fucking stink.
Oh, it's gonna reek of unwashed Chad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Then you look at who's going to attend it, right? Look at the people who are speaking. It's all a bunch of these libertarian slash right wing asshole authors. Is there
a good, or a good fan, friend of the show, Big Papa Elsie, going to be there?
No,
I say friend of the show sarcastically.
This is the level where Larry Correa is well above and beyond these fucking guys.
Oh yeah, like, absolutely.
This is almost like these guys are just trying to be like, Big Papa Elsie, will you please, could you please notice me, please, senpai? We're right here too. We're doing sad puppy shit too. Like, we're sad puppies too, right? Just like you, Big Papa. And like, Larry Correa is like, I got a fucking books to write. Like, look, Larry Correa is an asshole, but dude's made a fucking living out of being an asshole, whatever. Ain't nothing I'm ever going to say is going to bother him. Although, Larry Correa, if you want to fight, I'm still here to fucking train and fight you. These guys are just desperate to be noticed by that contingent. And what the other thing, here's the other thing. This is happening on a weekend where another really popular convention, an up and coming convention, it's a black run convention called FiaCon.
Okay.
Is also happening this weekend. Not in Michigan, nowhere near this shit, but it's almost like this is their desperate attempt to be like, our convention's more important.
Like, how many people can actually fit in this bed and breakfast? Like,
who fucking knows? Who knows?
It's going to be 12 fucking people, including the authors.
There was an article on a website. It's a science fiction news website called File 770, where the headline was dozens of people intending to to go to Based God. Like, oh, this is the same guy who said to me. So when I was tweeting this shit out, right? One of the guys who's going to be there says in a tweet, well, you know what? We're going to have more people packed in single bedrooms than this guy's even sold books. And I'm like, that's a weird flex, dude.
Yeah. Like, I don't, how many people?
Like how many people are going to be in these rooms? Also, is that going to be comfortable for anybody?
No, that sounds terrible. At all?
How many pounds of human feces are going to clog the toilets at BasedCon? That's what I give a fuck about.
That place is going to need to have their sump pumped after that.
Oh yeah,
I mean they're what is that called? Their septic. They're going to need their septic system pumped after that. It's just going to be clogged.
Yeah, I gotta give props to friends of the show at Shannon B. Wrights and Dina, who when they saw that this guy was just busting my ass on Twitter, and I mm-hmm. nothing like that bothers me, right? Literally, right. I can't be fucking bothered on Twitter. At one point, I said, "Hey, I'm not going to mention the guy's name who's running the con, but I was like, hey, R, what's the food situation like?" And he was like, we'll let people know. And my response was, well, I actually don't really give a shit. Never mind. So then Dina jumps in from the Don't Make Weird podcast. Dina jumps in and goes, can you guys accommodate an onion allergy? And he says, well, we'll make sure there's food there, but like maybe we won't have like onions within 50 feet of your food or whatever. And then she's like, well, if I eat an onion, it'll make me die. And then Shannon writes on there, can you guys accommodate two people? Like, can we knock the price down to $69? Maybe like if we bring our own beds, like, will you guys accommodate that? Like, look, we're trying to just make this thing work on a budget. and of course this asshole didn't immediately identify that this wasn't sarcasm, which tells me right there he's just absolutely incapable of writing in general. I haven't even read this guy's books. I don't fucking need to.
No. Well, don't give this fucking asshat the money that, like,
no,
you could spend on a fucking colostomy bag.
Look, if you want to – here's the thing. Here's the fucking thing, science fiction and fantasy people. If you are a right-wing / libertarian – and I'm combining the two because you know what? They're the fucking same thing.
They are. Don't let any assholes tell you they're not.
If you have a problem with people of color or queer representation or disability representation, stop writing and get the fuck out. Like, you are literally not welcome anymore because that's the natural progression. Ain't nobody going to look back and go, damn, you know what? I really miss white people in this shit. There's no one out there is saying that white authors can't write. You can continue writing and continue being successful. We just need to cede the space to people who literally haven't had it before, because you know what? Our society is just absolutely propagated with racist bullshit.
It's... okay.
Nobody is taking anything from you.
There's a real fucking problem that we're living in right now in society. And this is the story that I was talking about earlier. We went to a fair this past Friday. The Mason-Dixon Fair. So you think, okay, Mason-Dixon line, right? You know, you're thinking between Maryland and Pennsylvania, okay, it's not the fucking Deep South, like, we're cool. The amount of fucking redneck, hillbilly, white trash people that I saw at this convention was astounding. But what was even more astounding were the amount of fucking assholes wearing Trump 2020 shirts and hats and paraphernalia. And I'm like, did you guys not get the memo that the election is the fuck over by over 6 months at this point, and your idiot lost, okay? And, like, fuck off. I'm tired of staring at your dumb campaign shirts. You don't see anybody wearing a fucking Biden 2020 shirt anymore. Why? Because
did they even make those?
I don't fucking know. because people not in that headspace don't do idiot creep shit like that. And let me tell you something. It's creepy shit. It's fucking creepy. It's cultish.
You sit there on your fucking convention website and you say, if you have made up pronouns and you need a reality check before you show up, that is an active threat. I'm sorry, but that's an active fucking threat against somebody.
There was at this fair, And it's like I guess one of the little feeder fairs maybe for the Maryland state fair. I don't know. Maybe it's for the Pennsylvania State Fair. I don't know which side of the line it was on because it was at the Mason-Dixon line. There was a tent for... Let me explain the quality tents that were there, other than the, like, 15 Amish tents that were there, which, good for them, whatever. Make your living, sell shit to dumb people. You know, and the normal carny fair, like, your rides, your games, your, you know, your funnel cake and shit like that. Right next to the funnel cake, there was a tent that was propaganda for Right to Life.
Oh.
Just an entire tent for Right to Life. And and they just had a ton of bumper stickers and shit. And I'm just walking past it going, is this, how did anybody planning a fair say, this sounds like a fun addition to our fair. Let's have people come in here and talk about, you know, proselytize to people about how abortion is evil. Let's do that. Then, two tents down, it was just the, here are all of the MAGA flags. If you're into, if you want a Trump 2020 flag that's left over, you can buy it here. You want a Trump 2024 flag because we're fucking on that bandwagon, here you go. If you want any, you want blue line, the thin blue line flag, if you want the thin red line flag, if you want the thin yellow line flag, if you want all three of them or any combination of a flag that desecrates the American flag, you can get it there. Do you want a Don't Tread on Me flag? We got like five different types.
Oh, Gadsden flag bullshit fucking is the worst.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, especially because it's fucking co-opted by these asshats who don't even really get what it is.
Yep.
And it's infuriating.
These are the people, if we think back on how that applies to like science fiction and fantasy stuff, these are the people who are like, well, we want science fiction to be fun again, right? These are the guys who don't really get Starship Troopers. They think it's just about shooting bugs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who think that science fiction needs to be fun. And you know what? That's cool. Let science fiction be fun, but also recognize that science fiction has a responsibility to being forward moving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, science fiction was pioneered by a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you are playing in a sandbox that for it to continue being literally relevant, it needs to move forward. But it's science-based fiction.
They
move forward with it all.
They don't care about legitimacy.
No.
They don't care about
that. All they want is big ships and libertarian dreams. That's what they want.
Exactly. And it's – you're like, and the thing is, it's not even worth anything arguing with people about it.
No.
Because you're not going to change their mind. They're not going to change yours. The only thing we can do is hope that they fucking take a long walk of a short pier.
You know what? They'll die out eventually.
Will they? Because it doesn't seem like they are. That's what's infuriating to me.
They're all getting to be gray-haired fuckers anyway. So you know what?
Maybe
you'll get there.
I'll die one day, so I won't have to fucking worry about it. Thank God.
You know what?
Cheers.
Right there, it's a good point. Hey, I want to play a little bit of a game here, since this is an extra episode.
Yeah,
I want to play a little bit of a game.
That sounds great because I'm tired of bitching.
Fuck these guys, right?
I know.
A bunch of fucking losers.
Look, this is that's your watch out for what is it called?
BaseCon.
You mean SawCon?
SawCon this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Don't go online and fuck with these guys.
No.
And here's why. You will waste so much of your time. Let them have their little fucking convention. We all know that it's just a collection of racist bullshit. There's some asshole is going to have a white hood in this shit. One of these guys is going to bring COVID, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm saying let them have their convention because these people don't identify propriety. And they think that just because they can do something, that freedom of speech protects it. I hope they enjoy their fucking convention in the belly button asshole of nowhere, and may all of the guns they bring not accidentally go off while they're cleaning them with bullets inside of them. So, you know what? Enjoy your fucking convention, you rubes, you stupid MAGA chuds, you fucking backwards thinking penis holes, you transphobic, racist, sexist pieces of shit. Literally, you are welcome nowhere else except an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm. And that feels
fucking
good.
Losers.
That feels super really good, actually. Especially to know the level of interesting human beings that you can meet and enjoy your life with just by not being one of these pieces of shit. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. We're asking you as two guys who go there and do this sometimes, like as far as saying the words, being, you know, being combative about it verbally, don't go after them, because these are the type of people that will send every idiot they can find out of the woodwork to just make your life a living hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead, choose. And this is a lesson that I need to learn. Honestly, it is a lesson I need to learn. Choose to apply your activism at the right places and know where it's going to have effect.
Yeah.
Arguing with fucking idiots on Twitter where they get a bunch of their faceless minions with the phrases, things like pronoun /off in their profile. That's not, you know what? I'm not doing any good by fucking arguing with these idiots.
No.
So you know what? Go to awesome conventions like FiaCon. Go to these good, fantastic conventions where diversity and inclusivity is truly valued, and know that you're having the absolute best time among people who value you for who you are, and that these boners are just sitting there breathing into each other's boxer shorts because they're so packed nuts to butts in all these rooms, and they're so afraid that one of them is going to pop a boner.
I wouldn't even
a boner.
I wouldn't even give these guys the grace of calling them boners. They are flaccid acorn penises.
They're chodes. They're tuna can chodes.
Tuna can chodes. Fuck them. let's play a game.
Let's roll off. Okay, so I want to play a game with you. So, as you know, I've been you know, over the past few months, I've really been getting involved with the Twitter writing community. Mm-hmm. And there's this popular thing, and there's a lot of like divide over whether it's good or whether it's bad. We're not here to argue this today, but there's people who ask writing questions. It's questions about main characters, like, hey, get to know your main character more by answering this question. And usually it's really baseline shit that you're like, I don't know about this. So I want us to be main characters today. Okay. And I want to ask us some questions and answer.
Cool. That sounds great.
The main characters of our own story. Because
as a theater asshole, I'll say this to you, which is, I think some of the questions that I've seen going around that you've asked, while as a writer, people are arguing like, well, are these worthwhile? Are they stupid? Whatever. These are the same type of fucking questions every actor actually asks themselves if they are like a method actor and they're trying to get motivated and understand their character. So
what does my character want?
Yeah. So don't think that these questions are stupid and like, because I think they can be helpful.
They can be helpful. It's exercise, silly, absolutely. Sure.
And you can feel silly doing it, and that's okay to feel silly and embarrassed.
I will say that as a writer, never once have I found a question like this remotely helpful.
That's okay.
like because I don't know, like I think about craft as a writer, and I don't think about craft whatsoever. I'm just like, I don't put words on paper, make words make image.
Yeah.
Make words make plot. It's the same way I am as an actor, where I'm like, I don't gotta get in my character's head.
My character likes to do it.
My character likes to do it. All right, so here's the first question. What are your greatest fears?
If you really want to know my greatest fears, being lonely. What? And oh my God, can you hear the children upstairs? Just
no,
slam
I can't.
Dancing across the house. My greatest fears are being alone and dying and growing old.
Jesus, that's, you know, I'm here for you regardless of what happens.
Thanks.
You're gonna grow old and you're gonna die.
Oh man, I hate that. I hate that sentiment.
There's gonna be a point at which you are one of the only remaining members of our bloodline. Do you realize that? Everything around you is going to perish slowly.
I do know that.
I may or may not die before you.
No, you will not die before me because that's not allowed.
But just know that you leave me behind. I will be the only one left.
I know, because Lithia's definitely dying first.
So those are your fears? Like, those are your legit fears?
Yeah, absolutely. I really am afraid of... I'm afraid of growing old. I'm afraid of dying. And I'm afraid of being alone. I used to be afraid of spiders, and then I weaned myself off of that fear. Every other fear that I have is just basically... I realized that every fear that I have is just a derivative of those three main fears.
I actually don't think my fears are too different from those.
Okay.
Tell me about your
fears.
I really dislike growing old. I don't like the way it feels in my mind and in my body. This week I finally be proud of me. I finally jumped back on the running train.
Congrats.
This past week and a half.
Cause I took a month break.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm not hitting it up great. Like, I'm doing about a mile and a half each time. Today was rough, but like, my goal is to get back. I would love by November to do another half marathon.
Okay.
So keep that on your fucking like personal playlist, bitch.
Okay. Look, we were going to do a half marathon a while ago and then we just didn't. So now this November, after we finish Evil Dead, I guess we're going to do a half marathon.
Let's do it. I love that idea. Let's do it. I actually love taking care of my body within reality, like, because I'm afraid there's going to be a point where my body is incapable of doing even the simplest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, being incapable is a fear of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like, I'm not talking about big incapabilities. I'm talking about like I can't open a can, which I know that is really, it's like immensely privileged of me to say, right? Mm-hmm. I've been really blessed and graced with a body that for the most part obeys what I'd like it to do and doesn't have any things that it keeps it from doing them. So I think in a way it puts me in this position of like a great position of power, but also, as we know, the further, the higher up you are, the further you fall. So like, I'm really terrified of my body not functioning.
Yeah, I absolutely get that, man. Like, I, in working on this house, which has been so much of my life, I have not felt this beaten up in a long time. Like, aches, pains, things that hurt me now that shouldn't hurt just from doing work, doing manual labor. And I'm like, my life is manual labor a lot of the time, you know, doing, I think COVID hurt me and got me out of this, you know, probably like 10-year stretch I had of working and building near constantly. And so going back and working on this house, being like on my knees a lot of the day for putting in flooring and stuff like that, I was a wreck. And I ended up getting a massage because of it. And,
Did you fall asleep and fart?
No, I did fart. I didn't fall asleep, but it was luckily it was quiet and it didn't smell. So she
I'm
didn't
proud
notice.
Of you. I'm yeah. really proud of you.
Thanks, man. But I like during this massage, the woman was like, so I had to be really careful with like your shoulders and stuff because the tissue there is like really dense. And she's like, you're probably going to be sore for a couple of days. And you may even have some bruising. And I'm like, okay, cool. I guess I'm...
Dude, I got dense shoulders, baby. I'm
fucking muscular badass.
What is it about your love interest that most appeals to you?
Okay. I have two different statements on this.
Okay, okay.
One is the serious one, which is...
Okay.
She, without the level of consternation and ridicule that I felt as a younger person, she's helped me to understand the importance of being an adult and has helped me become a functional adult. And has made being an adult enjoyable and fun and made me realize the reward that is being responsible, being a responsible human being. I think that's like off the top of my head right now. One of the things that I can say, you know, as, other than like the trite, oh, I love her. She's a nice person. She treats me well.
I love the way she looks. The other thing I'll say is the way her breath smells as she wakes up in the morning.
I definitely do not love that. Nobody loves kicking that. Breath.
There's nobody. Anybody out there who goes, oh, morning breath is cute. Get the fuck out of here, you absolute murderer.
But I'll also say the other thing is she got a killer booty, and I really love her booty.
You're a buttman?
Yes, I'm a buttman.
Bob's a buttman.
I'm a buttman. I'm one of those buttmen that loves to look at a butt and imagine sinking my teeth into it.
Mimi a buttman.
Mimi a buttman. What about you? Tell me about what the things you love about your significant other.
Easy clap. She is my perfect balance. Mm-hmm. And at times where I am a raving lunatic, she has got a clear head and can guide me through these moments of lunacy that oftentimes other people don't see, because she literally is able to just like soothe them and calm them down. But in the vice versa, where there's times where she's a raving lunatic, that I get to be the person of like clear head, right? Like we perfectly balance. It is. I hate to use the tired comparison, a yin and a yang kind of thing.
No, that's cool.
We perfectly suit one another's shape. And I say that not as a physical statement, but as an emotional statement. And there's been so many ways that no one else will ever see that I've been picked up and dusted off by her.
And one of the things that I'll say to you, man, about those, like those moments of losing it, give it a little more time. You're 38 this year, turning 39.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're about to hit this point in your life, I think, where you're going to go, and this is talking from experience and us as two very similar people, the path that your life is on right now, especially in the work that you're trying to do and the betterment that you're trying to introduce in yourself. I think the calmness and that other those other balances will start to work themselves in. It's like, you know me, I was to use a term that should probably not be used because it's problematic, I was a raving lunatic 5 years ago. And I think maybe some of it came from meeting Tara, but some of it was because I made a realization one day that being a raving lunatic didn't do anything good for me.
It's when you have the capacity and ability to control your emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to recognize, obviously, there are some people who like it's not that's not easy.
No.
I've been helped by medication a great deal. Mm-hmm. I've been helped by medication.
Absolutely.
And that's one of those things out there that like a lot of people will be like, no, medication. Fuck it. Medication has helped me 100%. Medication is literally the reason I have a book out right now. And that's not a thing I often tell people, but it is the truth. And maybe it's something I need to verbalize more. Like the minute I knew my medication was working, when I realized I could sit back down and I could focus on creating again.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's one of those things I think about. But yeah, like calmness, embracing calmness where I can, it can be very hard. And I'm thankful that I have had more practice in doing so, but I know there's a long way for me to go with that too. Got another question for you.
Yeah, ready? Don't be an angry boy. Okay.
I'm trying not. I'm sorry.
I'm so fucking mad all the time. Fuck. I need my drugs.
Do you have scars or other physical trauma?
Yes.
What do you got?
Let's see. I've got a weird eye pain now from where I had stupidest thing, I had sawdust fly into my eye and cut my retina, but also I think that or my cornea, not my retina, but it left a permanent like pain in my eye that shows up on rainy days. I always thought people who were like, oh, my bones hurt today because it's gonna rain, you know, that they were full of
that's
shit.
That's old man shit, right?
I thought that was full of shit, but what it is it's the differential in pressure. And for me, that differential in pressure, one of the first places it affects you is your eyes and your sinuses.
It's my eyeballs and my sinuses.
Your sinuses and your eyes will swell or unswell. So, like, my eye now gains pain when that's the case. But, I mean, I've got, like, scars all over my hands from my work, which aren't, to me, aren't really scars. They're sort of like
trophies. You have very powerful but also hard hands.
Thanks, I think.
Well, I mean, they're powerful and they've done a lot of work, but also, like, yeah. Like you have rough palms.
Do I really?
As far as I can remember.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that makes sense because I use them to work. No, they're just work. Right. They're workman's hands. I look at them, though. My hands are one of the main reasons I can tell whether or not I, like, am on the upper side or lower side of where my, like, weight scale is. Right now, I can look at it and tell that I'm on the upper side of my weight scale and that I have a few pounds to lose because my hands are one of the first to show it or not show it.
It's funny you say that because my arms and my hands have always been, I think, almost problematically thin. Okay. Like, they are. Like,
they're,
like,
not.
They're
not.
They're not. They're just, like, I look, they look frail.
They're not.
My belly, however. Thank you. Any other scars or physical traumas that you have?
I have scars that are covered up by my tattoos. Like, I had one where I had a hot molten plastic fall on me for when I was torching out, like, electrical boxes, and you can't rub it off when it happens, otherwise it's worse. You just let it sit there until it cools off enough to peel it, and at that point it's like, you know, the old scars that people who used to get the multi vaccinations had on their arms, like our parents had it, but we don't have them anymore. Like,
looks like somebody just put, like, a clamp into your arm.
Yeah,
and just sucked out a piece of your soul.
Yeah, it looked like that. But I don't have any major traumas. I have mental traumas, plenty of those, but I don't think we're talking about that. We're talking about physical trauma.
Right? Okay.
Your turn.
I would say I have a few. I have the upside down smiley on my thumb from where I got blood on the cheese.
You're trying to cut great stories.
Well, I don't remember that one. I just remember trying to cut a bagel and I got blood on the cheese, right?
Yeah.
And I remember there being cheese and I just remember there was blood on the cheese. Then my nose stop feeling bad about it.
I always feel guilty about it, man.
Our buddy, friend of the show, Sean, not Sean Watch 2021, but Sean another
Watch,
Sean.
Sean Watch 2021. Sean Watch, this is episode, 12 of Sean Watch?
Yes, I believe so.
Sean,
next week it'll be episode 49.
Sean, can you please confirm this week? Yeah, if you listen to the show this week, I need you to reply to one of us and text us and say that you are not a MAGA chud.
Oh, good call. So a friend did a pedigree, Triple H pedigree on me and busted my nose. We had to lie to my parents for 15 years about my nose being broken.
I don't think we ever told Dad. We told Mom.
We told Mom. Yeah. Dad died. Dad so died. We can't really tell him.
Yeah.
My nose, my thumb, those are the only ones I can really think about. I do have continued ankle issues because about 4 years ago, I sprained my ankle.
Okay.
While I was roller skating, and I had to wear like a support for it for a while, but like it still tweaks now and then. Still tweaks.
One last thing: my teeth, my front teeth.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Which I busted my two front teeth, so they're like there's like a triangle missing out of my two front teeth from where I fell on the gym floor in fifth grade. Literally, it had my adult teeth for like months.
I hate thinking about that.
No, it's cool because Wednesday I had my second appointment to get my deep scaling done, and then after that, 2 weeks to a month after that, I get crowns.
I'm finally gonna
have my teeth fixed after 20 years.
I hate it. I can only imagine, that gives me crotch electricity.
I had them fixed, and they had like caps on them, but those caps have fallen out over the years repeatedly. So now they're we're gonna crown them.
Gives me the butthole sensation.
I know. Oh man, does it give you crotch electricity? Does it give you does it give you the gooch? What was it? The one
gooch,
that we
the gooch tingle?
Yeah, yeah.
Gives gooch me the, scooch. The, 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 The butthole reaction, or
the butthole reaction. Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Okay, so let me see a few more here.
We should plow through these because we turn an episode that was about nothing into an hour and a half.
What is your favorite rom com?
Oh shit, man! Shaun of the Dead count?
I think so. I think that completely reasonably.
Then Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mine's Hitch.
Cool. Because Breakfast Club doesn't count as a romantic comedy, right?
I don't know. I don't think Breakfast Club is a comedy at all.
There's some funny stuff in there.
I mean, there is, but it doesn't mean it's a teen drama.
You're right. It's teen drama.
Have you ever done anything cruel?
Have I ever done anything cruel? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want details? Because I'm trying to think of those details.
I was cruel. Yes.
Go ahead. No, you give me one. You tell me one.
I remember there was a kid, and I'm sorry about this. And if he's out there, this is my apology to him really quick. I hope that he's a big fan of the podcast right now. Hey man, I don't remember your name, but I remember I only met you one day, and you were really annoying, bro. You were like in fourth grade and I was like in fifth grade, and
that is not how that works. Wait, are you saying you did a cruel thing or I did a cruel thing?
Yeah, I did a cruel
thing.
Oh,
you did. Okay.
I did a cruel thing.
Got it.
You just wanted to hang. And when the people I was with began throwing rocks at you, I didn't say no. I just sort of like walked away. And I was like, well, the kid annoys the shit out of me. So like, peacing out. So like, I still feel bad about that to this day because like, you know, nobody deserves having rocks thrown at them. Like, they didn't like hit him in the nugget or anything like that.
I mean, I've done some ignorant stuff. I don't know that I've.
I mean, like one of the kids who threw the rocks, is no longer alive. But that's not my story to tell. So, anyway, go ahead.
No, that's fine. I don't. I legit can't think of a cruel thing that I've done because I don't think that we are cruel people. I think that like that in action, maybe. I did call my ex-wife a child molester, but she had technically left me for a 17-year-old boy. That is a sad statement. Like that is the thing that is so difficult to say out loud, because when you say it, you the thought in your head should be, well, that person had some issues that maybe they had to deal with. But also at the same time, you think to yourself, yo, how little of a fucking spouse and a man am I that my fucking ex-wife left me for a 17-year-old boy?
You know what?
Don't worry. She's a child molester.
Jesus Christ.
And the words were, you're a fucking child molester.
Hey, you know what? You got to say what you got to say that time. This is the next one I got is a really important question.
I can't wait.
Have you ever seen somebody be eaten before?
Like a human being be eaten.
Have you ever seen somebody be eaten?
Functionally before? As food. Not like had their private parts swallowed or eaten.
Yes. I think functionally as food.
Okay, have you not ever sexually. Seen
somebody? Yes.
No. I don't know if. Because we all know that faces of death aren't real, and I'm pretty sure there's probably stuff like that in one of those, but not in real life, no. Not by an animal that I know of. I've seen people get bit by animals, but I haven't seen body parts removed and consumed that I know of.
Really? Yeah, I haven't either. I mean, like, I don't think that's a normal thing, right? That's a bit of a strange question. That's
a weird question to ask, but I guess that's really what goes into, like, fiction. But also, have you ever seen someone be eaten? I don't know. Who thinks of this shit?
I mean, that to me is just not, like, that's not a formative experience for me, per se. Like,
have you seen your, I don't know. I don't even know how to say. Have you ever seen your dad have his hand cut off by a threshing machine?
We had a friend of the show, Mike. He came on for our Alien 3 episode. His dad's thumb got cut off by a lawnmower.
But he didn't watch it happen.
Yeah. No, he just had to pick
Mike's
up the pieces.
About the closest thing is he's almost seen his dad eaten by a lawnmower.
Yes.
And he had to pick up the fingers.
Let me tell you what, we're hitting about an hour and 30 minutes into this fucking shit fest. So, should we start calling this thing?
I guess so. Nobody cares this week. It's fine.
You know what? It's fine. This is a podcast. It's a fucking podcast for you to listen to.
No, nobody wants to fucking listen to this podcast. Whatever.
What?
I don't know.
Well, you know what? If they don't, they can go eat my ass and go to BasedCon, okay?
Look, I'm trying to think of some really hot clips for this coming week, okay?
Oh, so, there's a few, baby. There's a few. So find them in there.
Listeners, put them up. Also, listeners of the show, if you're like, yo, this is funny, this part, like, fucking shoot me a message and be like, you should clip this part. It'd be great for advertising. Look,
absolutely.
Do us a fucking favor, okay? If you listen to us where you get all your great fucking podcasts on Apple, Spotify, I run
BOG, Bango,
XLM,
Sysmac,
Sirius Radio,
Porn,
and
X2
Analog. Your mom's eight track tape deck. Like us.
Panty jobs.
Like us. Share us. Tell your friends about us.
Give us a hot review. We're a real fine podcast.
Yeah, we have positive values for you and your friends. You can let your fucking kids listen to our podcast.
Sextapes.net.
We won't call them shitheads to their face. We'll tell them that the other kids they know are shitheads. But your kid specifically is not a shithead, Mom.
No, but secretly your kid's a shithead. So, like, watch out there. You know, my favorite place, I think, to get this podcast is like hot boxer shots.
You're not getting it there. Don't lie. You're not doing it. You don't do anything. You don't get it. You don't get your podcasts anywhere.
Wait, me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You don't do it.
I listen occasionally to my own podcast.
You aren't doing podcasts. You're not a podcastman.
You're the man who does the podcast. You're the one who uploads them.
I know.
Hey, look, I just rely on you for good production values, and I just do all the brilliant talking. Hey, so what do we got? What do we got going on for next week, buddy?
Hopefully next week. Next week. And that is week. That's right. Since we did this episode, Bond is supposed to join us next week for the novelization of Tron. So, Chris Bond.
Bond. If you don't join us.
Bond, I keep telling people you're going to be on the show. You're making me look like a real fucking asshole, Bond.
Bond, I'm just really trying to create content over here.
Look,
okay?
We are hot content creators.
Next Monday, one of those days around there, come hell or high water, we're going to be doing Tron the novelization. Bond or not.
Yeah. So, Bond, come on. Come on our show. Come on my show. Bond. Come on my fucking show.
Come on. It's a free fucking show for you, Bond.
Bond, look, so I know you're fucking Canada, but the time's not that different.
Bond, I love you. Bond, we love you. We love you, and I'm sorry that we're American, because fucking Americans are garbage, but so are Canadians.
We're all garbage. We're all garbage people. It's fine.
So what do you got? You got anything to promo? You want to drop the shit?
Yeah, man. If you're looking for a hot read, once again, let me tell you, you could find Rance's new book. Do you want to give us what it is? Yeah. If you want me to do it? Because I did it for last time.
You can find my book, His Ragged Company, Testimony of Elias Faust, at www.eliasfaust.com. Or you can just fucking search on Amazon. But hey, if you read that shit, make sure you drop a review on Amazon and Goodreads. And guess what? I ain't going to be hurt if you don't like that shit. Just be honest and let me know where it can improve, right? Just don't go in there and be like, this book's a bag of diarrhea. That doesn't help me at all. In fact, if you tell me it's a bag of diarrhea, I'm just going to make a bigger bag of diarrhea next time. So like, actually help me out. Be like, look, I didn't like this thing. Or like, this part sort of seemed weird. Just let me fucking know. It's there for improvement, right? 10 years from now, I want to be swimming in illicit drugs, but making these kind of improvements on my writing. So help me out.
That sounds great.
You can find that online. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Violence Obscene. You can also find us at the QBC Podcast on Twitter. Look, we don't got too many followers yet, which I'm sure when the right-wing assholes who learned that we talked about BaseCon, they're going to immediately attack that. And you know what? That's fine. Just follow us, check out the podcast, and masturbate only 3 to 5 times a day.
That's but only if that's how you feel. If you want to masturbate more right. and or less, you do you. You can find me on Twitter at Spacey. Wow, Spacey.
At Spacey Boy.
At Spacey Boy. No, don't find me on Twitter at Spacey Boy. Who knows what that is? It's probably Kevin Spacey. Find me at Space Funky B-O-B. To be honest with you, I don't tweet that much. But you know what? I got to say that, like, I'm watching all these other people that we know who are like, yo, I'm hitting 3,000 followers. I'm like, how are you 3,000 followers? What the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing that I'm not doing? So this is just a personal rant right now where I don't understand how people get followers. You got to be on Twitter all fucking day long. I just want to know. I want people to follow. So I want people to listen to our fucking podcast. It's just me. It's
here's
fucking
how you get followers. Here's how you get followers.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a hot tip right
now. I don't want the followers. I want our podcast to have the followers.
I mean, like, let's face it. It's because I don't put any work into it.
Well, I'm going to need you to put some fucking work into it, okay?
I'm trying.
I know you had a very important book to sell, so let's fucking sell that important book, all right? But sometimes when you're selling that book, just sell the fucking podcast. And you know what I'm saying?
I try.
You know, here's the fun thing that I will say to everyone else when I'm joking about this with Rance right now. In the fucking book, in his fucking blurb, it says that he's on a podcast. Like, it's so, it, just if you bought his book, you know he's got a fucking podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
So just keep selling your book, and then you'll be selling the podcast. It's fine.
Smart idea. But you got to read the whole fucking thing.
I know.
Thing.
What get if to these the fucking
do,
end.
What if these people pull a DNF on that bitch?
If they pull a DNF, then they're stupid because you get to the end of the fucking book, and it's like, holy shit, I just jacked off into my own mouth.
Let me tell you what. That's a hot third act. I'm real proud of my third act. It's a hot. It took me literally 10 seconds to get there. Is that like your new toothpaste now? Or?
Clearly.
This man's tossing ropes into his mouth. It's a hot toothpaste tool. My man, proud of you. Proud of your dental hygiene. Proud of your dental hygiene.
Thanks. Do you want to find us on Instagram? If you can, it's at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast.
Take the longest to close out a podcast.
I know.
If
you want to find us on Instagram, or not Instagram, at Instagram. I just said that. That's the Quarantine Book Club Podcast. If you want to find us on TikTok. Every couple of days we'll
every
post
6 months or every so, 6 months or so something.
Yeah, I'll put like a clip that's fine with a funny little graphic sticker that I stole from TikTok. It's fine. That is also at the QBC podcast. You can find us on Facebook at the Quarantine Book Club. Also, you can find our website. It's www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Make sure you add the, but we found something interesting this week.
What's the cool thing?
The other Quarantine Book Club where they charge people money to like look at virtual things, they've ended.
What?
Yeah, they're done. They're not doing any more things. They're successfully done. They
are
beat
you saying
COVID.
That we consumed Quarantine Book Club and we are now the Quarantine Book Club?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess what probably happened is they just were like, well, COVID's pretty much over, so let's just meet in person.
Yes!
Again.
Yes!
So yes, God, we won via attrition.
Make better Quarantine Book Club next time. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob. And this is this the Quarantine Book Club.
I'm the Quarantine Book Club.
This is actually the Quarantine Book Club.
Hey, make sure you stay safe. Be smart.
Be kind.
Don't be a white supremacist prick penis.
Do the work.